today what I'm going to do is we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 17 through 24. And we're just going to unfold that a little bit, okay? I'm going to look at that as a whole. We're going to talk about it as a whole. We're going to look at that passage because it's really one thought, one consistent thought that Paul has. And so we're going to look at that. And then what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to do a mini-series. I know we're in Romans, and we're going through the whole book of Romans, but we're going to do a mini-series inside of this passage, and it's called False Securities. False securities. So today we're going to do an overall look at this and you'll get the idea, but then in the next several weeks we're going to look at false securities because some of you have set up false securities and you cling on to them rather than holding on to God. And then you ask yourself, why do I have problems? Why do things go awry? Why are there issues? Why can't I think right? Why can't I do right? Why can't? And it's because you have the wrong God. You're holding on to the wrong God. And you say, but Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's only your Lord if you're following him. You see what I'm saying? He is Lord, but he's only your Lord if you're following him. And so we're going to talk about false securities. If you'll look in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, and then we'll just read through it and we're going to discuss it a little bit, which means you guys are going to get out early today. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Well, that gives me encouragement to not let you out early because that or you guys were just in shock and you looked at everybody like, really? I don't know how to take that one. So I'll take it as, no, Pastor, not early. Jews. let me get my brain set up. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. Here we see that Paul is talking specifically to the Jews. There's only a few places in Romans where Paul talks specifically to the Jew. Otherwise, he is talking to everyone. Well, right here, we know he's talking to the Jew because he says here in 17, indeed, you are called a Jew. But how many here are called a Jew? How many here are Jewish? Okay, wow, so we have one, and yeah, by default, you're Jewish, sorry, right? She's like, I don't know, yeah, you're there. Right, so other than, absolutely, so other than right here, the rest are not Jews, amen? So we see Paul, sorry, this is just for you today. Listen, hold on, yeah, she's like, bring it. I love it, dude, and you're going to help lead worship with an attitude of your wife like that? That is awesome. All right. I know I'm tough on recruiting. Kathy's already going, I'm so sorry. All right. That's why they didn't tell me where they lived because I keep asking Kathy, where do they live? I can't tell you. I'm going, really? It's okay. So here he's talking specifically to the Jews. And he says, look, indeed you are called a Jew. And then he goes on, and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law. He says, hey, listen, indeed you are a Jew. And you know what? Indeed you have the word of God. And God has spoken to you and he has given it to you and he has laid it out. And what we're talking about, the law, is the Old Testament. Listen, not just the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, even though it's called the books of the law or the Pentateuch or the books of Moses. But what he's talking about is the entire Old Testament. You had the word of the prophets. You have the word that Moses gave you. Listen, you have Proverbs and you have Psalms. You have everything that God gave for you to understand what God wants, who God is, what he desires, his personality, what he doesn't like, what he doesn't want you to do, what he does want you to do, what's going to happen if you do what he doesn't want you to do. Listen, you're a Jew and therefore you have everything that God wants you to have. And so you know what? You're right. You are a little bit above in the sense that you have more knowledge than the Gentile, but there's a problem with you. And then he goes on, he says, I want you to understand the problem. And as he goes on here in 19, he says, as he tells them, and you know, in 19, and you know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. So it's interesting how he says, you guys think pretty highly of yourselves. And you have all of this, and you think you're a teacher to the blind. Well, who's the blind? Those that don't know the law. That would be the Gentiles. So the only one that really knows anything today is Joanna. The rest of us, we're Gentiles, and we're clueless, right? And so they're like, we ain't never coming back. Just hang in there. We're going to love on you guys. And so he says here in 20, you're an instructor of the foolish. Gentiles don't know anything. And so the Jews are going to teach them. That's who they're an instructor of. And then he says, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. I'm sorry, 19. You yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish. So have you guys noticed now we're called foolish? And so then he goes on. In 21. So after he established, you would think for a moment that Paul is building them up, right? You guys are awesome. You rock. And it sounds like he's building them up. Now, here's what I want you to do. And I want every one of you to do this. Because every one of us can do this. Let's just back up for a minute before I go through the rest of this passage. And how about this? Tell me if this changes the entire passage. As we discuss it. Okay, as I discuss it and you listen. 17. Indeed, you are called a Christian. Does that change it any? It makes it personal now, doesn't it? Because here's what you're going to find as we look through this. You're going to find that this applies to us today just as much as it applied to the Jew back when Paul was talking to him. Indeed, you are called a Christian. Now let's read it. Indeed, you are called a Christian and rest on the law. What's the law? The word of God. And make your boast in God, right? Because we have the answer and the lost doesn't, right? The arrogance that some of us put off when we're around lost people. 18. And you know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of what? The Bible. And there, and are you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind? We have the answer, so therefore we can teach the lost. A light to those who are in darkness. Right? You light your candlestick and you put it on a stand on top of a hill. You don't put it under your bed, right? We're the light to the world, to the darkness. 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in what? The Bible, God's word. You see how all of a sudden, guys, this isn't about the Jews. This is about children of God. How does this apply to us? What does it mean to me? I'm going to tell you what it means to you and what it means to me. It means that we could be at fault just like the Jew was at fault when Paul was talking to him. Guys, this is a challenge. I'm telling you, today is a challenge for you to look and see if you have if you have put your beliefs or your thoughts or whatever it is, and if you have false securities. Because Paul actually unfolds these securities, and I'm telling you, as I read this and as I was studying it out and I'm looking at it, the only thing that God kept telling me is, this is today's Christian. 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 And I went, okay, God, I got it. And Gog went, no, 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 you don't get it. This is today's Christian. And as it goes as a whole, Christianity and as today's Christians, I'm telling you, we need to hang our head in shame because today's Christian is not worried about getting the job of God done. Today's Christian is worried about what they can get done for themselves next. This is today's Christian. This is everything to do with you and me. It's not just for the Jew. It's for today's Christian. Look here in verse 21. You therefore, and this is really going to get personal, guys. I'm just going to tell you, this is really going to get personal. 21, you therefore, because of what I just said between 17 and 20. That's what the therefore, remember I said, whenever you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for? So that therefore is what Paul just said between 17 and 20. Because of what I just said, you, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? All of a sudden, these are challenges to look at yourself. Not just about stealing. I don't want you to sit there and go, hey, I'm not a thief. It's really to get you to look at your life as a whole and your relationship with God. So he says here in 21, you who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, as many Christians in here or who claim to be a Christian, you steal. And you go, what do you mean? I don't steal. You do. There's many of you who rob God. You may not be robbing somebody else, but you're robbing God. You're robbing God of time. Time that he died for you. He died on the cross. Why? So that he could love you and bring you into the fold to show you how much that love really is and how much it means. And most Christians don't spend 30 minutes a week with him. You're a thief. You take what's not yours. You're a thief. Some of you on your tithes and offerings. Some of you don't even do it. Do you realize that the average tithe for the Christian is 2.7%. 2.7. That's it. God says, I want a tenth. And we go, psh, Lord, you're crazy. I got this much. And you can be happy with that or not. And that's what we give. And God says in Malachi, you have robbed from me. You're a thief. And we go, how have we robbed from you, God? And God says in tithes and offerings. And then we get people who go, well, I don't believe in the tithe. I'm going to tell you the tithe is all throughout Scripture. It is from Genesis all the way through. You can't get out of it. And they say, well, I believe in grace giving. Well, then you need to think like David thought. When David went to buy some land, right? And they said, oh, you can have it. And he goes, oh, no, I will not. I will not take that land and give it as a gift to God and it cost me nothing? No, I'll buy it for the asking price. I'm going to give God what's his. I'm going to invest. And we don't do that. We rob from God. But we justify it. So don't worry. I'm sure many of you have fantastic excuses, none of which are my concern. It's really between you and God. But I'm thinking, how would you feel if somebody stole from you? Consistently. And then they justify it. Well, how often would you put up with that? And I'm afraid that we won't. And we wouldn't put up with it but about one time, and that's the moment we found out. And so he says here, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Do you say, do not commit adultery? Do you commit adultery? That's really very interesting because we wouldn't commit adultery, would we? Oh, no. Mm-mm. We wouldn't commit adultery. But yet, many of us do. We have a God before our God. We commit adultery with God. We put somebody before him. How many have thought in their mind they've looked at somebody with lust? Then you committed adultery in your mind. And you go, I'm not committed adultery. Listen, I haven't acted upon it. But he says, if you do it in your mind and in your heart, you've already committed adultery. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid stealing from God? How do we avoid committing adultery? I'm going to tell you how. You build your relationship with Jesus Christ and you put him first. The problem is we always want to put him when it's convenient. And that means for some of us, it's not at all. And some of us are so arrogant as to think, well, hey, I showed up on Sunday, so God, you need to be happy with my presence for an hour. Right? How arrogant we are. Or we go, hey, God, I gave to this person over here. That was the tithe. And God says, no, 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 you got to bring that into my storehouse. You got to bring it in here so they can do the works. Well, God already gave it over there. Well, you robbed from me. Well, I invested it over here. No, you robbed from me because that's my offerings. Where's my tithe? You robbed from me. And you think of other things that become your God. And so you commit adultery with me. See, we don't look at it that way, do we? Most of us don't look at it. It's just acceptable. Listen, I'm going to do what I want to do because it's my life and I can do it. And God, I love you and this has nothing to do with you. And God says, whoa, wait a minute. It's got everything to do with me. If it comes before me, then you've committed adultery. Because you have another God before me. And you say, well, money's not my God. Well, when we get to this part of false securities, one of them is money. And here's a question that I have for you, and I just want you to take it home and think about it. How many remember the rich young ruler that went up to Jesus? And he said, hey, what must I do to get into heaven? And Jesus gives him these things to do, and he goes, I've already done all that. And Jesus says, oh, well, since you're already perfect, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Whoa, wait a minute. You just got real personal now. He says, sell all you have and follow me. And he goes, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because the security was in money, which, by the way, is where it is with the majority of the people today. He goes, man, I can't do that. And he walks away with his head down, and Jesus is equally as sad. And so you say, well, money is not my God. Here's my question. And you just take it home and you think about it. If God were to come up to you right now and say, sell all you have, everything you have, get rid of it. I want you down to zero. I want you to get rid of all your money. I want you to get rid of all your house. I want you to get rid of all your, I want you to sell all you have, and then you follow me. Your answer will tell you who your God is. I don't want to know your answer because inside you already know. Did you get a little anxiety all of a sudden? Like, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. It's going to tell you who your God is. Because here's the truth is, if you're already not tithing, you're already not giving, you're already not serving, you're already not growing in Christ, you're already not in a Bible study, you're not in something that's going to bring you closer to God and mature you, take you from a babe in Christ to an adult that can eat, chew on a bone rather than just suck on a nipple. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're not in any of that and you're not doing that, God's not your God. And you can kid yourself all you want to say, well, I'd give it all up. You're kidding yourself. You won't even give a portion. And you're going to say you'll give it all up? Don't kid yourself. Don't be foolish. These questions, I'm telling you, today these questions are to challenge you. These questions are to get you to, I see blue lips, so I'm going to turn the air up. Somebody say amen. All right. Listen, the whole idea of today is to just challenge you. I want you to walk home asking yourself, who am I in Christ? Where do I stand? Is he really first in my life? Or am I just playing a religious game? Am I just toying with God? Where do I really stand? Would I give it up? Listen, if it got into my hand and I got $2,000 in my hand, and listen, that $2,000 was a gift. I don't even know where it came from, but man, it was good because every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. It comes from God. Well, here's $2,000, and God goes, hey, I want you to give it up. And you go, sure thing. Just as soon as I find a good reason, I'll give it up. Right? But people do that. I remember when I first got saved, and it hasn't changed. Well, some things have changed, and I'll share here in a minute. But I remember when I first got saved, and God said, I want you to give this. And I went, no problem. I want you to tithe. No problem. Listen, as soon as I read it in the scriptures, I did it. Now, I didn't care whether I believed it or not. You know, people say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. Period. Take you out of the equation, because the truth is, you don't matter when it comes to the truth of God. He's all that matters. And so God said, my pastor looked at me and said, you need to tithe. And I went, show me in scripture. And so he showed me all throughout scripture, tithing, 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 tithing. I went, no problem. I tithe. And then all of a sudden, as a little bit of time went by, and we're sitting, and my wife and I, we had gotten back together. We were separated. Many of you know that story. And so we're sitting there, and I had just started my own business. And so, you know, we had a little bit of a savings because things were starting to pick up. And so God said, there was a challenge from some missionaries that came in. The church challenged us to buy a seat, and each seat cost $1,000. And God said, buy a seat. And I went, with your money? I don't have $1,000. All I got is $1,000, but it's in my business because I need to operate business, God. And God said, give $1,000. I said, okay. So I looked at my wife and I go, we're going to give $1,000. She goes, we don't have $1,000. I go, apparently we do, because God said, give it. Amen. So my wife said, you're in charge. And if we can't pay the bills, God's going to hold you responsible. Well, God bless you, honey, for putting that on me. And then I figured, I go, well, you wrote the check. So anyway, we give $1,000. Why? Because it's not my money. It's God's. And the question is, how many are willing to give to God what is God's? And then, that's your tithe. And then to give when God says give till it hurts. We're so consumed with us that we rob God. We commit adultery with God because we love our money more than we love our God. And guys, I'm just telling you, I'm challenging you. This passage, as we unfold false securities, we're going to look at false securities as we look at who the Jew is and how they hung on to, hey, you know what? In John chapter 8, remember the Jews wanted to argue with God, with Jesus? And they said, we're going to heaven because Abraham's our father. And Jesus quickly cuts that one to the quick, and he goes, no, Satan is your father. Wow, that hurt. And of course, the Pharisees bowed up like we do when we're called out on something. I'm just going to tell you, this here is to challenge us of who we are and where we are with God. So let's move on. In verse 22, he says, you who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? And what was going on is, they were robbing God. You get the idea. They were taking money and robbing God. They would go to the widows and they would say, hey, listen, she would get, say, this big inheritance, if you will. And then they'd go and say, well, you need to give that to the church. And so she would give it to the church because they would guilt her into giving all of it. God doesn't ask for all of it. He only wants a tenth. He just wants his portion. But she would give it all to him, and then they would divide it up between them before they'd get back to the temple. And so the temple would never see the money. They would rob from the temples. But don't we as Christians do the same thing? God says give, and we go, sure thing, God. I ain't doing that. And we rob the temple. We rob God. Listen, I'm just putting this out there because you know why? The Word of God says it. All right, today is not the most feel-good, tickly-feeling day, right? Amen? Somebody say amen. Oh, boy, I got everybody's attention now, don't I? They're going, amen. Wait until I get out of here. I ain't never coming back. Look here in 20:23. He says, you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? You who make your boast that you're a Christian, do you dishonor God by breaking what God has told you to do? Do you dishonor God by living a hypocritical life? Because that's what he's talking about here. He's talking to the Jews, and he says, you're a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. Man, you claim one thing and you name it, but you sure don't live it. You sure don't act it out. And you're one way before the people, and then you're another way before your friends. You're one way in church, but you're another way at work. You're one way in church, but you're another way in school. You're one way in front of your parents, but you're another way away from your parents. I'm going to tell you, you're a hypocrite. Paul's pretty harsh, isn't he? You're like, oh my goodness, Paul, ease up. Take a breath. Oh, that's what you guys are saying to me. I'm sorry. Look here. Look what he says. Guys, and again, guys, I'm challenging you to just really think about where you are in your walk. And then look here, and let's do 23, and then we'll go into 24. You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Do you who call yourselves a Christian, do you dishonor God by living anything other than a Christian life? That's what he's saying. 24. Guys, this right here should grab you. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For the name of God is blasphemed throughout the world because of Christians. Who has done more harm to Christianity than anybody else in the world? It's not ISIS. Listen, it's not the Muslims. If anything, they're so passionate about their religion, at least they're willing to die for it. We have the living true God. We have the living true Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're not even willing to take a hit for him. And then we don't take a stand on Christianity because it might offend somebody. Oh my goodness, how many of you people want to throw up over that? I am, and I got to be real careful here because I get real angry. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. As a pastor, and as a Christian, and as someone who, yes, I'm black and white. And I had somebody say, Pastor, you'll never grow the church because you're too black and white. You'll never grow Sunday school because you're too black and white. I'm going to tell you, you're going to chase people off because you're too black and white. And I'm telling you guys, it's time for Christians to quit being gray and start being black and white. I'm going to tell you, when Paul starts here in Romans chapter 1, there's nothing gray about him. I'm going to tell you, the drunk is just as sinful as the homosexual, and the homosexual is just as sinful as the drunk, and the adulterer, and the sinful sinner, the man who has a black heart, who wants to serve himself, who wants to walk like they're somebody, but in deep down they're nobody. I'm going to tell you, Paul was very black and white. There's nothing gray about this, but we live in a society that says gray has got to be gray. How many know what the governor of California, the law he just passed? Anybody know the law he just passed, the governor of California? Are you ready for this? Here's what he just passed. It is now illegal. Illegal. Illegal means not allowed. To use the words husband or wife. It's illegal. In California, it is now illegal to use the word husband or wife. You have to use the word spouse. And so they're going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to change all of California's legal documents to get rid of the word husband and wife. Where is the outcry of the Christian? Where is the Christian going, I've had enough, and I'm going to take a stand? And it's because the Christian is silent that we are accused of the very same thing that Paul accused the Jews of. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because of the Christian. The Christian who lacks integrity, the Christian who lacks courage, the Christian who lacks love for his Lord and Savior, the Christian who isn't bold. And I'm going to tell you, God says, listen, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of boldness and a sound mind and to love. I'm going to tell you, what do we do with that? Might offend somebody. Let's get away. It's because of the Christian. And man, I read the news and I look at everything that's going on, and my wife just leaves the room because I get outraged, and my kids ask me if I've taken my medicine. And so, you know, because listen, I'm going to tell you, right? Am I the only one who gets outraged at this? People say, pastors are always after money. Churches are always after money. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, then a church wouldn't be hurting for money if you gave your tithe. Oh, people don't want to come in. Because if you're a Christian and you live right, they'd come in. I'm venting. This is like my soapbox. So, visitors, please bear with me. I'm just telling you. Man, it breaks my heart and I get so angry. And then people come up and they go, I love God and I got all these problems. Because you don't love God. You're not teaching. You're not living. You're not loving. I'm going to tell you, you got problems because you're still leaning on you. Amen. You're not leaning on God. Well, I'm just going to tell you, where's God when I need help? Where are you when God says, come to me? See, it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about us, and it's not about what we do. It's all about, do we love God? Do we live for him? Do we die for him? That will change the world. And so when Paul says, you are Jews, I'm saying you are Christians. And the very same passage that he's talking to the Jews are, apply to us. Nothing any different. Nothing. And people go, well, pastor, you know what? You need to calm down. No, you need to grow up. Well, pastor, I don't like what you say. Right? I talk to people and I share the word of God, and they go, well, I don't like that. And I go, well, you tell Paul. You tell Jesus. You tell God, the Father, by the way. Don't take a shortcut. Just go straight to him. He's made a way. You tell him you don't like it. Well, you called me a thief. Do you tithe? Nope, you're a thief. Do you take your tithe and put it towards something else? Do you go on vacation on God's money? You're a thief. Well, I don't like that. Well, you know, I can't take a stand at work because I'll lose my job. You're a coward. You go, oh, I don't like that. You know, I'm just going to tell you, God says to take a stand. That doesn't mean that you got to stand there in the middle of your office and you jump up on the chair and you say, Jesus is Lord. That doesn't mean that. What it means is when you're standing around the water cooler, I wasn't going to jump on you, Gene. When you're standing around the water cooler and there's dirty jokes being told. See you guys. You see what I'm saying? Somebody wants to rob the clock at lunchtime and say, hey, man, we're just going to clock in a little bit later, you know, because after all, they look at all the money they make. And so, you know what? 10 minutes off the clock that we take isn't going to matter. You're stealing. You're a thief. And you say, you know, God's telling me not to steal, so I'm going to go back to work on time. And by the way, I'm going to give my employer a full day's labor for the wage that I agreed to work for. So many people, Christians, go, well, man, you know what? They underpay them, so I'm just going to give them what they pay me. I'm going to tell you that God says, whatever you find to do, whatever your hand finds to do, you do it as unto the Lord. And you put all your effort into it. You give the man a full day's wage because you agreed to that salary. How dare you cheat that man who you guys had an agreement with? You don't cheat him. You work for him. I remember when I took a job up here and the guy come up to me, the owner, and he said, man, you really go that extra mile, don't you? And I said, because I work for the Lord. You're just a beneficiary. Man, I'm going to do what I do as unto the Lord. Why? Because I want to win people. I want them to see that I'm not a hypocrite. I want them to see that I love God and my God loves me and he's going to take care of me even when I do what's right. He's still going to take care of me. So many of us don't believe God's going to take care of us, so that's why we cheat. We don't have enough faith. And Paul said, Christian, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because of you. You're the reason. You're the reason. You don't live right. You don't trust God with the money. You don't trust God with your life. You don't trust God with your job. You don't trust God with your business. You don't trust. Listen, you want to know where your heart is? Look at your paycheck. Look at your checkbook. Seriously, I'm not even kidding you. This isn't even on tithing. I'm just telling you. You want to know what your God is? Look to where all your money goes. You'll find out real quick who your God is. You'll find out real quick where your love is and where your passion is. God's blasphemed because of today's Christian. I'm just challenging you to find out where you're at. Today, yes, I'm a little indignant on my message today. I'm a little passionate. I'm just, you know, as a pastor, I deal with all kinds of people. And I guess a lot of it I deal with is because of silliness. And the reason I call it silliness is because you can tell the people what to do. You can tell them how to do it. You can tell them what the Bible says. You can tell them what the Word of God says. And you know what they'll do? They'll turn around and they'll do it the same way they've always done it, over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, that's craziness. That's insanity. It's not going to change until you change. God never changes. So when you go, oh, I didn't know God could be like this, it's not because he changed, it's because you changed. Do you trust him? If you trust him, quit stealing from him. If you love him, quit committing adultery. If you love him, teach somebody else the truth. Not what you think. I get people that they'll go, I'll ask them a question and I'll share a verse with them. Well, you know the Bible says, and they'll go, well, I think, and stop. I don't care what you think. I don't, because you're about to argue with the Word of God. Well, I'm not, really? Well, the Bible says, well, you know, I really don't agree with that passage. I think, stop. People will come up to me and go, well, Pastor, you were wrong in teaching this. And I'll go, really? Yes. I think it says, well, no, I don't care what you think. Give me a verse that tells me I'm wrong. If you're going to do battle with me, then we have equal weapons. We both pull out our sword. Amen? So how do we teach others? How do we teach the blind? How do we change the darkness? We got to know the Word of God. And then we got to live it out. Quit being a hypocrite. Don't tell somebody you go to church and then act like you don't know what church is. Don't tell somebody you love Jesus, but yet when somebody shares a dirty joke or somebody blasphemes your God by saying his name in vain, you just walk away. Or you act like it doesn't even faze you. Man, people use the Lord's name in vain. And I'll look at them and go, whoa, hold on a minute. You want to share with me exactly what Jesus has to do with this? You want to help me out here? I'm serious, guys. I do it. I don't care who it is. We had solar panels put on our roof this past week. And the guy said, he come up, and I really respected him for this. And he come up to me and he said, I just want you to know, if these men say anything or do anything out of line, you come and tell me, and I will deal with it immediately. And I said, well, I'll just tell you up front, I'm a pastor. And so I really don't care to hear cussing on my property, and I really don't want to hear the Lord's name used in vain. And so if you can just kind of put that little bug in their ear, we'll be good to go. If they smoke, take their cigarette butts with them. Other than that, I don't have a problem. I really appreciated that. And you know what? None of them cursed. None of them used the Lord's name in vain. As a matter of fact, there were seven guys there, and I took and fired up the grill and made all of them burgers and hot dogs and served them up lunch and watermelon and just, I mean, big, you know, the full spread. And they said, man, nobody has ever taken the time to actually cook us lunch. I said, well, hey, man, Jesus loves you. I just want you to know that. When I served it up, and I said, hey, guys, before you guys eat, let's go ahead, and if you don't mind, we're going to bless the food, and I want to bless your work and your efforts as well. And they're kind of blown away. And you know what? Not one of them. They had nose rings and tattoos and stupid haircuts. And, you know, they had everything going on for them. Not one of them had a problem with me blessing their food. Not one of them had a problem with me saying, in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you guys, we need to stand. We need to stand firm. We need to love in the name of Jesus. But you know what? We need to rebuke in the name of Jesus as well. We need to learn how to take a stand. Don't tell me you love God and you're afraid to take a stand. Don't tell me you love God and you rob Him. And don't tell me you love God and you're committing adultery. I don't want to hear it. Because I'm going to look at you, and you guys know this. Because anybody that's had conversation with me, you know I don't butter it up. If I know you're living in sin, I'm going to tell you, this is why God's not blessing you. I had somebody call me up the other day, and they said, Pastor, do you have a minute? And I said, sure. And they used to come to church. They don't come to church anymore, so don't look around. And and she said, I don't understand it. You know, I've been living for God, and I've been doing what's right, and I don't understand why I'm still not being blessed. I don't understand why I'm still going through these trials. I don't understand. And she went on and on and on and on. And I go, are you done? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm going to tell you why you're not being blessed. Are you ready for this? And I don't need to know anything else, but here's what I do know about you. You're having sex outside of marriage. How do you expect God to bless that relationship when you're living in sin? Don't tell me you've done everything. You need to quit having sex. That's what you need to do. And then God will start blessing you, because then you'll have everything in check, right? Because you tithe and you do all the things that God's asking you to do. And it's not about money, guys, but money definitely checks our heart. But you know what? You're serving God and you're living for God and you're standing for God. You need to quit having sex outside of marriage. Inside of marriage, woohoo, go for it. I was listening to a documentary while I was cutting grass the other day, and yesterday, because I'm weird like that. I put my Bluetooth in my ears and I put headphones over and I turn on Netflix documentaries so I can learn something rather than repetitive music that just bangs in your head like Skillet and all that other junk. But so, you got that one, didn't you, brother? So anyway, as I'm learning, they're teaching me about lions, and lions are active when it's that time, every 25 minutes. I see some of the ladies went for 3 days. I'm driving, going, if only I were had the big mane. I'm being funny. But think about that. I don't even know where I went. Anyway, I got lost in the lions. Okay. Guys, let me got hot in here now, didn't it? I told her, I said, listen, if you're living outside of God's will anywhere in your life, you're out of His will. You're living in sin. And you need to stop it. You just stop it. You want the blessing of God? If you're knowingly doing something that God said don't do, stop it. Don't get angry when your blessings are gone because you wouldn't stop it. Don't get angry when God doesn't give you more because you've robbed Him of what He gave you. Don't get angry when God says, listen, you know what? Our relationship is not where it should be. And so until you turn and look at me the way you look at your computer screen or your phone screen, don't get angry. Don't say you're doing everything when you know you're really not doing what you need to be doing. Because otherwise, this fault lies with you. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Now that we have such a feel-good message today, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go through this mini series about securities and false securities, Lord, I pray your hand upon the messages and upon me and, Lord, upon each and every one here. Lord, I just pray that they come back to hear it. Lord, so they can really treat these messages as a mirror, Lord, that they can look at themselves and compare themselves with your word, with your heart, with your desire, with your direction, with your instruction. Not with man, not with their wife or their husband, not with any other thing, Lord, but you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help everybody to return to hear your word. But Lord, for those who are here today, who claim they love you, but yet, Lord, they rob you, they commit adultery on you, Lord, they teach false doctrine because they don't know you. Lord, for those that are here, Lord, I pray right now that they would stop being the hypocrite. They would stop claiming righteousness when they're living so unrighteous. And Lord, I just pray that you would use the Holy Spirit to convict them, to draw them, Lord, to draw them to you. And Lord, that you would break the self-righteous attitude that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 2, 1 through 16. Lord, help us to take up our cross, to die to ourselves, to follow you. Lord, help us to become children willing to look at ourselves and, Lord, willing to get rid of the hypocrisy, to get rid of the sin, Lord, what we know is wrong. And we get back to serving you. Lord, we get back to doing it your way, the way you say, not the way we want or the way we think it should be done. And so, Lord, I just pray your hand upon each and every one here, Lord, that as we go on, Lord, with everything we do, we ask ourselves, is this pleasing unto our Father? And then, Lord, you would use your Holy Spirit to convict us or to give us permission to continue. Lord, I thank you and I love you. Lord, help us to be children of light that shine the brightest, that you can trust and that you can use. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.